We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky, and I am coming to you from my home in New Athens, Illinois. By the way, the home of Whitey Herzog, who recently passed away. And so thank God for Whitey and the Cardinals. And who do I have? Who I can actually see Matt today. He has his video stream going. Who is with me here?
Yeah, I feel at a disadvantage, John. You can see me. I can't see you. So I can only, yeah. Anyway, you're probably making faces at me and all sorts of stuff, and I have no idea. So we are recording this online through the miracle of technology. Thanks be to God for technology that we can do stuff like this and serve the gospel. That's great. So I am coming to you from my office here at Ascension Lutheran Church in always beautiful South St. Louis, where we are.
Go ahead, man. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, I just say we are mourning Whitey's death. You know, the White Rat, Whitey Herzog, and that's been the papers and lots of tributes to him and his biography, and just celebrating the accomplishments with the Cardinals. And he was a guy who stuck around after retirement, right? And was active in different ways in the community, and just well loved, not just as a manager, but also just as a man as well. So yeah, we certainly miss him.
But he had a terrible haircut. We might as well acknowledge that, you know. But yeah,
it all started in New Athens.
That's right. Well, this is where he got his haircut, which is why I never get my haircut in New Athens. So this is, by the way, Wrestling with the Basics, if people haven't figured that out already. Matt, real quick, because you have something really exciting going on in your parish, for those who are in St. Louis listening to us, what are you guys doing this summer, this June?
Well, sure. Thanks, John. We'd like to just share an invitation to come to our outdoor concert series. So it's every Saturday in June, 7 p.m. We'll have refreshments, free music, a variety of different local bands and musicians here in the St. Louis area. Not necessarily religious music, but just kind of a nice evening to enjoy music with the rest of the community. So like I was sharing with John earlier, this kind of came out of COVID, to be honest. We were thinking, well, what can we do that, you know, would be a setting where people would feel safe gathering together. And we thought, well, let's do something outdoors. So that's how we began our outdoor summer concert series. Saturdays in June, 7 p.m. We'd love to see you.
So before we always do our formal show, of course, we have usually something a little humorous with emphasis on the word little. And so I'd like to try to tailor our humor to our audience. Would that be all right with you, Matt?
Sure, John. Yes, please.
Well, so we talked about the fact that we have a lot of herpetologists. We are the most Saturday morning Bible study, more herpetologists listen to us than any other show. And so we had this wonderful joke. You can distinguish an alligator from a crocodile by paying attention to whether the animal sees you later. And that's right. I just love that joke. I'm sorry. I had to do it again.
It's very technical. I hope our listeners got that one.
Yeah, the animal that sees you later. That's the alligator.
The herpetologists are cracking up right now. I can hear from here.
Well, guess what? Get ready for our German listeners, because I have a joke just for our German listeners. And of course, we know we have lots and lots of German listeners, because the fact of the matter is, KFUO, our founding organization, was started by a bunch of hard-headed Germans. And we're about to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the radio station. And so I thought it was only appropriate that we would have a joke just for our German listeners. By the way, Matt, I see you have your Lederhosen on.
That's right.
I have mine on.
I can only
too.
Imagine you have yours often. On, John. I can't see you.
You can't see it, but I have. Trust me, I do have them on. And often Matt will wear our Lederhosen in honor of the German founders of the radio station, KFUO. So here's the, are you ready for the, after that introduction, are you ready for the joke, Matt?
I'm ready, John. There's a big buildup. I'm sure it's going to be good.
Oh, and I tell you, our German listeners are just going to be bending over in laughter. And no matter how kind you are, German children are kinder. Now, of course, our English listeners probably don't get the joke, but
they're still waiting for the punchline.
Well, no, see, kinder. The English word kinder is actually the German word kinder. That is the word for children. So German children are always kinder, are kind. Yeah, maybe it wasn't worth doing that one. I'm sorry. It's too late now.
A kindergarten. Yes.
Thank you. There you go. Yeah. That would help people understand it. Yes. And that's because German children are kinder. Anyway, man, I think we had something we were talking about last week, didn't we?
Well, you know, John, we used to have German listeners. I don't know. Jeez, we'll have to, yeah, we'll check back with KFUO on the demographics of Wrestling the Basics. And yes, yeah. We will. Let's continue this, John. Let's continue to tailor our jokes based upon those demographics.
Who are the demographics? Who is listening to us? And we know that we got a couple dumb people hosting it, which is why we have a lot of dumb jokes. I hope we don't have a lot of dumb listeners. I'm not saying that. No. Our listeners are some of the brightest people in the world. I hope. I don't know. I can't get myself out of this, Matt. The Holy Spirit, Pentecost.
Yeah, maybe questionable radio choices, but smart people nonetheless.
That's right. Well, you know, really bright people need to rest their brains occasionally.
There you go. We are your half-hour brain rest.
Oh, that'll be our new slogan
for
2024. Yeah. Your half-hour brain rest. Pentecost, Matt. Pentecost. We were talking about it. We had the wonders. We had the miracles. We ended up with them talking about the mighty works of God. And we promised our listeners that we would talk about what did they really say? What was the sermon on that day? So I've got Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Do you have Acts chapter verse 14?
I do. I kind of love that we're doing this because I think it's the rest of the story, right? Yeah. Because even our lectionary reading on the day of Pentecost, when we come to worship, we hear about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We hear about the tongues of fire, the sound of the rushing wind. We hear about the speaking in tongues. But sometimes that's kind of where we stop. And like you mentioned already, these mighty works of God that are being proclaimed, we really don't hear about those in worship because our reading stops there. That's important things, right? It's important to hear about the tongues of fire, and it's important to hear about the mighty rushing wind sound and all those things. Yeah, important. But also important is, what are the mighty works of God that are proclaimed? What does Peter share in this first recorded sermon, really, then, here in the book of Acts in the early church? And what can we learn from the content of that sermon itself? But also, I think we can learn a little bit about what to look for in the style of a sermon or in the content of sermons that we hear today as what are some things that maybe our listeners should be listening for when they hear a pastor preach? I think Peter's sermon can be a model, perhaps, for our preaching, too.
And the other thing I want to add is, of course, the question we all want to know is, how do we get the Holy Spirit, right? Because they got the Holy Spirit. That's been established. And we want the Holy Spirit. So that's the other thing we want to look at. We want to ask Peter. So, Peter, tell us, how can we get the Spirit just like you got the Spirit? So my suggestion is, let's actually throw ourselves right into the sermon. Although, as you talk about a model, I do think it is interesting that on this day when Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, he starts by reading a passage from the book of Joel, which I think that's important. We don't have the Spirit on our own. We don't just make stuff up. But as good pastors, and I think as Christians too, we always want to start with, what does the Bible say? What does the Scripture say? But if we could pick it up at verse 22, Matt, how far do you want to read there?
We can do through 28, something like that.
Sure It sounds good to me.
All right, so Peter goes on, and after this Bible-based, textual-based sermon quoting the Old Testament, he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, here he goes, quoting the Old Testament again, the scriptures. For David says, and this is from Psalm 16, if I remember right, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. And there, I think, are the important words. You will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence.
And it is Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11, just if you want to get technical. All right. So again, and I think that's important, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, so that actually everything he's saying is Scripture. That's the amazing thing. Every word he says is actually the holy word of God. And yet, as you said, he wants to quote. He wants to quote the written word there, the word from the Old Testament. But what do you make of that, what he says there, Matt?
Yeah, well, I would add, too, you know, even today, I think that's true, you know, what, you know, to a certain extent, right? What Peter's saying here is Scripture. And even today, you know, as Lutherans, we have this teaching that the word comes to us in the written word, you know, the scriptures, the word comes to us in the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, right? But the word also comes up in the preached word, the spoken word. And so even as we hear a sermon today that, yeah, that's still God's word active and that still the Spirit is at work. That's no small thing. So I think that's, you know, one reason, wow, you know, for us as preachers, boy, take that seriously. But for us as hearers, yeah, take it seriously too, that, yeah, this is God's word coming in the form of the spoken word as it's being preached as well.
And the only thing I would add to that, of course, is we would say, on the other hand, we aren't, when we preach, we're not inspired. We wouldn't say that everything we are saying exactly is inspired by God. Certainly, we are great evidence of that in wrestling with the basics. But on the other hand, you're right. The Word of God is alive and powerful and doing the things that He wants it to do as we speak what He speaks in the Scriptures. Go ahead, man.
So getting back to your question there, what do you think, what do I think of this, right? What I think it's a pretty bold sermon, I think. He calls out the people, doesn't he? He talks about Jesus and the signs and wonders that he did. And I think that the people here in Jerusalem that he's speaking to are probably well aware of some of that. Were eyewitnesses of some of it. Maybe they heard about it. You know, that guy, he fed 5,000 people. He raised some guy named Lazarus from the dead, right? So they know about those works and wonders. But then, even so, he says, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, if you're trying to make friends here, Peter, or if you're trying to, you know, create a following here, Peter, boy, is this the way to do it? Because he's blunt, he's honest. I mean, you killed, right? And crucified him by the hands of lawless men. That's a bold statement.
And Lutheran preaching terminology, we talk about, we have to preach the law and the gospel. And certainly that would be the law. You crucified and killed him. And we're going to get that even more pronounced and direct as we get to the end of the sermon. The thing that always impressed me, Matt, is you know, Peter could have talked about, hey, look how we can speak in tongues and look how you can understand us and look at the tongues of fire on our head. I mean, he could point to all these manifestations, and yet he spends his whole sermon talking about Jesus. In fact, he's basically doing the Apostles' Creed, isn't he? About Jesus who came, who suffered and died, and now, of course, about Jesus who rose from the grave. And I think that's a really important thing for both listeners and preachers. That's what you look for, and that's what you ought to give them. It all ought to be about Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that point. I love that. It's the Holy Spirit's big day. And if there's ever going to be a sermon preached about the Holy Spirit, it's going to be the day of Pentecost, right? And in Peter's sermon, like you pointed out, no, it's all about Jesus. And, you know, that's the way the Holy Spirit wants it. You know, Jesus in the Gospels talks about the Holy Spirit will testify about me. And that's the Spirit's job, is to point people to Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so I think, you know, for today, you know, if we want evidence that someone really has the Spirit, if we should really be listening to this preacher, the evidence isn't in speaking in tongues or things that are claimed to be works of the Spirit. I think the real evidence of the work of the Spirit is, are they talking about Jesus? Are they being faithful to in their preaching about who Jesus is, why he's come, and what he's done? That's what Peter does after all.
So let me continue to read what else he has to say about Jesus. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, now we're referring back to that passage in the Psalms, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. So it couldn't possibly be talking about David when it says, you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. Being therefore a prophet, David, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he first saw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. And let's just stop there, Matt. Comments?
Yeah, I think, you know, re-emphasizing a couple things that Peter's already said. One is, you killed him, you crucified him.
Yeah.
But then who raised him up? God, right? You know, yeah. God did the work of raising him up, raising up Jesus from the dead. And the again, just the importance of the resurrection. You know, we talk about, again, in our own preaching, the importance of preaching Christ crucified. And Paul talks about that. Yeah, we need to preach Christ crucified. But Peter here also, boy, he really emphasizes the resurrection too. So we don't want to forget about the resurrection, preaching of Easter and Christ risen from the dead. And again, Peter even talks about, you know, being witnesses. We are all witnesses of that even, you know, this resurrection, the importance of those early Christians being eyewitnesses to the resurrection, bearing witness to that, or else, you know, the faith is in vain. It's all for nothing. You killed him, but God, he raised him up, and we're witnesses.
And there again, as we were talking about, the distinction between what we do as pastors today and mm-hmm. what Peter and them were doing. Yeah, so we're not witnesses, but we know about witnesses, and we know what the witnesses said, right? Which is almost as good, you know? And I think that's a big thing about the scripture. That would have been a big thing for Jews, right? You can't testify to anything unless you have one or two witnesses. And we've got a dozen witnesses here, and they all confirm the simple, basic fact that Jesus has resurrected from the dead. So that's the neat thing about being a pastor. We're not making stuff up. We're not trying to tell you some parable or moral story like Aesop would have done with his fables. We're just telling you this is what the people who were there saw, and this is what they had to say, and we're just giving it to you just like they gave it to us. The other thing I thought was neat about this, and I never thought about this before our discussion today, so he's condemned them, right? You crucified him. And the very next thing he says, but you need to know he was resurrected.
Yeah.
So apparently, even though what you did was evil and sinful, you could not deter the plan that God had for his son, Jesus. In fact, God somehow overcame the evil, wicked stuff you did and demonstrates that by having Jesus risen from the dead. Now, the practical consequences of that will actually come in just a few minutes. But I never thought about that. That if you tell someone they're a sinner, the very next thing you need to say, well, you know, this Jesus came and died, but he rose again. Your sins didn't stop that. What do you think about that?
Yes, exactly. And you used that word plan as you talked about that, John.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly it. In earlier, now again, Peter talks about this plan, this definite plan and foreknowledge of God.
Oh,
and I love that too, because it's not like Jesus' death on the cross was a surprise to God the Father. I mean, or to Jesus. I mean, this was the plan. This is why he came to the world. And so when Jesus is raised from the dead, that's part of the plan too, you know, that he would be raised from the dead. He, you know, God knew that would happen. So it's not like, you know, oh boy, Jesus or, you know, was caught off guard when he was crucified. And now his resurrection is sort of plan B, right? Oh, well, he died. Well, we got to do something, figure something out. Well, let's raise him from the dead. No, this Peter's emphasizing, this is all part of the plan. And I think that just for me, at least, it really speaks to the depth of God's love for us, that knowing that his own son would die, right, and rise, God still sent him to the world, you know, out of love for us. You know, we think of John 3:16, I think attests to that too. But boy, to know that this was all part of God's plan, wow, what a love God has for us and to go to these lengths to redeem us.
And think about the disciples themselves, because, you know, they don't know it's the plan. They don't know it's the plan.
Yeah, good
In fact,
point.
I think that's why they're so enthusiastic here, why they want to talk about we're witnesses to the resurrection, because we didn't understand this either, but now we do. And how they must have felt, how horrible they must have felt. I mean, we talk about you crucified him, but they're also thinking, yeah, and we denied him, and we abandoned him, and we one of us betrayed him, and one of us denied him three, you know. I mean, how horrible they must have felt, because they must have felt, man, we are really the most terrible. Here, this man loved us and cared for us, and what did we do when he needed us? And yet, of course, now, with enthusiasm, they say, well, we understand there was a reason. This was how God planned it. And so maybe we need to jump on to the next thing. So what's the reason behind this? Why did Jesus suffer and die? And, of course, rise again, as the witnesses tell us. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Probably should have read that with the other verses. But here comes the conclusion to the sermon. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? All right, Matt, what do you think about it? You ever concluded a sermon like that? Of course, it's not the conclusion of the sermon. We need to point that out. But anyway, Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I know, again, strong words, right? Know that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified, right? Yeah, I mean, law and gospel there in those closing words, no doubt about it, and closing words that are centered on Jesus. But again, honest words too, right, about his crucifixion. And I think, you know, rightly, you know, through that preached word, they are cut to the heart. I like that phrase. I think it makes sense. You know, after hearing those words, cut to the heart. What do we do now? And then Peter has an answer for him too.
Yeah, and we really need to get to the answer, because otherwise, if it would end here, this would be a very, very sad sermon. God keep you and me from ever preaching a sermon that just ends there.
Yeah.
And here's what I never thought of before either. We always think of the resurrection as being a good thing. And stick around, people. We'll see that it is a good thing. But at this point, actually, the resurrection is probably the most powerful law you've ever heard, because essentially what Peter is saying is, you killed this guy because you didn't think he was anything. Mm-hmm. You thought he was just some joker, some heretic, you know, some blasphemer. Yeah, you killed him without a thought. And guess what, guys? He rose from the grave. No, he's Lord and Christ, you know. And of course, that's why it just blows them away. That's why they're cut to the heart. You killed the Messiah you've spent your whole entire history as a people waiting for. So I hope there's better message than that. But at least they have repented, haven't they? They have said, what must we do? They recognize their sin. And here comes the beautiful ending, and also answers the question, what do we need to have the Holy Spirit? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. and with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them. Let's just end it there, Matt. So what about this conclusion to the sermon?
Yeah, so here you go. Here's the day of Pentecost, and here's Holy Spirit talk, right?
Yeah.
You know, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? And I think verse 38 is key. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, baptism, right? Baptism is a big deal. This is more than just a symbol. It's more than just, you know, kind of a ritual or something we go through. But these promises attached to it, right? Baptized in the name of Christ, forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit, these gifts that are given to us in baptism. And the thing I love about that too is this promise is for you. Okay, so all those listening there in Jerusalem, right? But also for your children and those who are far off, as far away as New Athens and St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
This promise is for us today too. And I think that is so beautiful that we can hold on to that. So yeah, if you want to know how to have the Holy Spirit, well, you know, or if you do have the Holy Spirit, do I have the Holy Spirit? You'll look to your baptism.
And isn't it neat how it just flips the resurrection? For just a moment, the resurrection is a horrible, frightening thing to think that we've killed the one whom God made Lord in Christ. And then that's the realization that these men had, and now they're sharing with us, and now we're sharing it with our listeners, that no, the resurrection means just what you said earlier, Matt, that God really loves us, that he would be willing to die for us. For no one has greater love than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. And I love the fact that it's about the forgiveness of sins, people. That's what it's all about, which is why Lutherans begin by making confession of our sins, because we're actually cheating in a way, because we know exactly what the pastor's going to tell us then. He's going to tell us that, yeah, this is why Jesus came and suffered and died and rose again, so that we might know the forgiveness of sins. Matt, we got 30 seconds. Any closing words?
Yeah, I think we see the Trinity at work, right? God the Father is doing this with foreknowledge. Jesus is the one crucified and raised, and the Holy Spirit given in baptism. Father, Son, Holy Spirit at work. The same one at work today, the same one in whose name we're each baptized, right? When water was poured on us or we went down underwater, whatever it was, water connected that name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That gift for us who are far off even today. Same promise, same gift.
Yeah, it's simple as that. Baptized, forgiveness, Holy Spirit, salvation. This has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.